There is a statement in A Course in Miracles that I love. It's one of my favorites in that whole big crazy thing. And that statement is, every decision you make stems from what you think you are. It goes on. Of course, it's in the text. But I think that the idea that we make decisions based on a value, what you think you are, being the value, the underlying value that leads to the choices that you make. And it's easy enough to see this working when you think you are someone of value, of influence, of the contribution to make. You're going to make your decisions one way. And if you think you're someone who is whatever, unimportant or unacknowledged or unappreciated, you're going to make your decisions a different way. If there was one theme that I could kind of take on for the whole world and offer something about, it would be the theme of self-esteem. And it's a huge subject and one that deserves a lot of attention and a lot of love. And I think that it would be awesome if we really knew how to support each other on this one. But I think that in this analysis of what you think you are, and then therefore will make decisions a certain way, that this is really a question of self-esteem. It's a question of where you have your spiritual roots. And it is possible, based on a number of factors in your chart, that you are going through some kind of a self-esteem crisis, which at its best would be a reevaluation wherein you revalue yourself on another plane, another something to kind of get on top of that thing. The self-esteem crisis is possibly coming from a sense of not being appreciated, maybe coming from a sense of being alone. It may come from a sense of thinking that your ideas are different from other people, and therefore that you are not accepted. And there is a risk involved in basing your self-esteem on what other people think of you. The opinions of others, both negative and positive, have to be used, I think, with extreme care and caution. I sit here all day long and people email me somewhat casually and might, pay me the highest praise. And then on the same day, someone might write to me and say, you're not cool anymore. You're just faking it. And I'm going away because you're not the cool person you've been for the past 10 years. And see you later. And were I to base my evaluation of myself on these opinions that come in, and sometimes even bigger ones where, what this one organization thinks or this place dropped my horoscope column for whatever reason, I would be thrown around. And I'm not somebody with an especially thick skin. If you know me well, you know that I stay close to the surface of And it is necessary to be that way. I think that part of what's being peeled back is your sense of detachment, your thick skin, and you are therefore either going to exist closer to the surface, or you are going to find ways to isolate yourself more. And this whole kind of thing, this drama, is something that is both influenced by and influences your evaluation of yourself. And all the normal ways of doing that don't seem to apply anymore. And it's becoming increasingly necessary that you draw your real strength of self-esteem from what you might think of as a spiritual route rather than a worldly route. And by spiritual, I mean in this context, because it's a difficult word, something that exists irrespective of life circumstances, irrespective of success or failure, irrespective of public opinion, the opinion of your parents or what people think of you, and that you be pumping that water up from the deepest possible place that you can. And there are ways to teach yourself self-esteem, but ultimately it's a decision that you make, that whatever this concept of worthiness or the option that you have to respect yourself be best to be isolated from what others might think. There's only so far you can go on others saying, good job, I'm so proud of you. Because the truth is that once that opinion ever changes, or if someone who used to respect you one day suddenly decides that you're not cool, if a reader writes to me and says, well, I've been reading you for 20 years and now I think you're a dick, and I wish you the best. If I had my self-respect based on that opinion in the first place, it would be devastating. And very often we do base our self-esteem on these things. And more often, I think, the lack of self-esteem, because it is very rare that our parents actually recognize us for who we are. It's more common that parents really beat the snot out of our relationship we have with ourselves, and often it emerges from their own injury, but it doesn't make it hurt any less or be any more, any less debilitating. And so, one thing that's happening in the midst of all this is that you may be deeply evaluating your worthiness, and I would suggest that you first of all take it easy. And that you attempt to internalize the process as much as possible, and that you focus your attention when you have to bring it to others on people who really do understand this concept of the relationship to a human being's worth in the context of existence in the universe and in context of the existence in society, among friends, among family, among the role that we play, and actually listen to people who have a balanced view and who have a measure of wisdom. There's a lot going on in the world right now on the topic of I'm going to be a better person. I've heard this for quite a while, and it seems to be especially among young people, and especially young people with a Saturn orientation, as Capricorn, Aquarius have, a kind of a meme. I'm going to improve myself. I'm going to be better. And I think this is, in many ways, a lost cause. I think that the abstract goal of being a better person is not that helpful. The concrete goal of how you treat someone in the midst of a transaction, the concrete goal of how you treat yourself when the chips are down or when you have a decision to make, how you decide to measure your respect and how much you respect you give yourself. These are tangible and concrete things in many ways. They're certainly more tangible than the kind of abstract goal of be a better person. Kind of like that Radiohead spoof, better, stronger. Hold on, let's see if I can find this. Okay, I found it. I'm going to play a little sample of it just so you can hear this. If you haven't heard this before. The piece is called Fitter, Happier, and they use one of the old Apple Macintosh speech generating devices. So here's a few seconds of this so you can get the flavor of it.
Fitter, happier, more productive, comfortable, not drinking too much, regular exercise at the gym, 3 days a week, getting on better with your associate employee contemporaries, at ease, eating well, no more microwave dinners and saturated fats, a patient better driver, a safer car, baby smiling in backseat, sleeping well, no bad dreams, no paranoia, careful to all animals.
The mock here, the spoof here, is that all of these elements of what supposedly makes a person a better person don't matter. What I do know is that ultimately we do exist in a relationship to ourselves, and that your relationship to yourself is being profoundly focused right now, and that part of what you're evaluating is your worth in the world. And I would just suggest that that sense of worth come from beneath and inside rather than from above or outside or from a sense of aspiration, that you find the feeling of worth within. And if you have to, you know, sit still for a while every day till you make contact with it, that is the thing to do, remembering that every decision you make stems from who and what you think you are. And this can require a lot of sorting out, and there certainly seems to be a lot of sorting out that you're doing. Now let's talk about strategy. One of the themes of your chart right now is about having strategies to approach life. And in looking at this kind of confluence of events, which I'm seeing in the form of retrograde Mercury in your sign, gradually moving into a conjunction with Pallas Athene in your sign, the advocate, the lawyer, the strategist, basically, the political mover, the strategist, in a conjunction with the asteroid Child, is very telling. Part of the relationship structure, the interrelationship structure that can mediate self-esteem, is do you treat yourself as an adult or as a child? How do you relate to your own desires, and how do you go about the process of tempering, mediating what decisions you make, what you want, and how you do things? And there's an indication here that there is a very restless child part of who you are, that there is a the term inner child work kind of went out with the 80s or 90s or something, but I think that it's still valid. And I've learned a lot about that in certain forms of therapy, particularly internal family systems therapy, that it is worth making contact with the child who you were, because when the child inside is neglected, that child can become a raging entity. And the presence of that child is very strong right now, and it is likely to be influencing your choice of strategies for getting what you want. And I would suggest that you recognize the things that the child wants. And it's not to demean those things, but it's merely to identify them as what they are. The child typically wants to not have to worry about responsibilities, wants immediate gratification, wants things its way, irrespective of what others might want or need, and tends to be a bit petulant. So when we talk about kind of a discarded child part or a lost child part, that's rarely the adapted, creative child. Usually we're really talking about the child that is struggling mainly with one thing, its lack of power, and with another, its lack of a structured life. And so in this kind of idea, there is a lot. And it begins with, do you treat your inner child part more, do you come from the place of a parent, or do you come from the place of a responsible adult, or do you come from the place of another child? Now, I'm not sure I can give specific examples here, but one might be, you know, how you relate to certain work responsibilities that you might not like very much. What is your approach to doing that? It is probably a child part that doesn't like them very much. Child part wants to have more fun, wants to either be outside or doing things that bring more immediate and direct pleasure. And how do you approach that child? How do you approach it with in a condescending manner? Do you approach it from a superior position? Do you approach it from an authoritative position? Do you approach it from the position of, say, for example, a responsible adult who encountered a lost child on the street who would be very unlikely to judge that child for being lost? Or do you judge it from the viewpoint of a parent who might scold the child and want it to grow up and be better? I think the important thing is that the child be allowed to be a child and have its voice. And so one thing that's essential is that you allow your inner child to be a child, that you feed it yourself with things that your kid wants, whatever that might be. It might be going to the movies. It might be going to concerts. It might be making music. It might be making paintings. It might be playing with people in a way that is completely absolved of responsibility, except for things like, you know, everyone getting home safely, but not having to, be responsible for others. And that you also be aware of when your inner child is wanting to take over the process of strategizing how you are going to get things. And typically, a child will either be a very shrewd manipulator or be completely inept at dealing with these seemingly all-powerful adults. And this is going to reflect how you address situations in your life where you have the option to express power in some way, where you have the ability to assert your will in some way. How exactly are you going to assert your will? Is your strategy going to be the strategy of a child, which typically means powerless and lacking a sense of continuity of the relationships of people, and also the passage of time, a sense of consequences as they ripple out into the world? Or is your strategy going to be a mature adult strategy rather than a parental strategy? It's a big difference. A parental strategy being, you know, inherently authoritarian. And if your parent and child inside are at war with each other, the adult is going to be completely squashed out, but the adult is more likely to act in the role of mediator, to be the one who can address the various needs of inner parts, but then also address the needs of the people and the circumstances around you. And so given this conjunction of retrograde Mercury, child, and Pallas Athene, the message I'm getting is do your best to understand what the, you know, petulant or gratification-oriented elements of who you are want, and make sure you at least acknowledge that, but then do your best to make your decisions and plan your course of action as if you are an adult. And one of the things that we do tend to forget is that we are not these little kids. We are not, we're not the powerless entities that we were when we were little. I mean, it's hard to imagine when you were little and having a dollar was a big deal. It's hard to remember when you were little and going any place was a big deal. it's very likely now that you have money in your pocket and in the bank, that you have possession of financial instruments, that you have the ability to earn money, you have the ability to take care of yourself. You've chosen to give a small example, purchase an astrology reading and sit and listen to a reasonable conversation, monologue in this case, about these subjects. Those are all expressions of power. And so it is, I think, helpful to evaluate your strategy for what it reveals about what you think you are, and then start to reevaluate that and make decisions that are based on having some flexibility, some money, some power, some ability to move your body from one place to another, some ability to choose who sleeps in your bed and who doesn't sleep in your bed. Overall, the ability to make decisions that guide your life. And I would say if you're going to attach your self-esteem to any one subject, it would be the one about understanding that you have the ability to make decisions. That statement again from The Course in Miracles: every decision you make stems from what you think you are. And so there's decisions going on two levels: the outer decision, the second decision, the every decision you make decision, and then the previous decision, what you think you are. Remembering that one is directly going to influence the other. And so the primary decision is what you think you are. And I would say, to break it down to the most basic kind of trinary, and this model comes from transactional analysis: adult, parent, or child. And we all have adult, parent, and child parts, by the way, often described in astrology, with the sun representing the adult, the moon or Mercury or something representing the child, and Saturn representing the parent. Now, your sun is in a Saturn-ruled sign. Mercury, and currently the moon and Pallas and child and Pluto, are in a Saturn-ruled sign. There is a lot of Saturn happening in your chart, and that is suggesting a strong parental approach. And where there's a parental approach, there's likely to be a child response. And so we often get caught in these parent-child dynamics. Look, for example, at Donald Trump and his followers. That is a parent-child dynamic. It's the out-of-control parent. Some would argue that Trump is actually really coming from a child viewpoint, trying to act like Big Daddy. And in encouraging unhealthy, unsavory, unloving things versus, for example, Bernie Sanders. Now, who is Bernie Sanders incarnating? He seems to be incarnating either the healthy adult or the sane parent. In a child where in a world where people really have a lot of, daddy issues, and where we're conditioned, even worse, to constantly act as powerless little children. And so I would imagine that as you start to claim a level, first of all, of parenting, a level of raising yourself, a level of doing the thing that a parent is supposed to do, which is to provide some boundaries for the child and to teach the child boundaries in the process of doing that, that you nurture that process along, and that further you take up the role of an adult and you recognize that that something as taken for granted as car keys, the ability to get in a vehicle and drive somewhere, even if it's to 7-Eleven to get a bottle of Pepsi, represents an adult status, an adult privilege. And that as you embark on your evaluations, as you think through and feel through and go through this process of consciously making decisions, whatever those decisions might be, how to relate to the other parent of your children, how to relate to your boss, how to relate to what you want to be doing in life, that you guide yourself as much as possible to, first of all, being conscious of adult parent and child dynamics, and that you take up the role of adult, of a mature person, and recognize the power that you have. It is very easy to be conned out of this power and basically gypped by parent types into a false sense of being a child, which essentially means powerless over the flow of events. Powerful in awareness, but powerless over the flow of events. And take up consciously your ability to influence the flow of events. And this requires profound clarity as you do this. It is a process that is going to be ongoing. And the parental thing, the shtick that people have, and this kind of treating the whole world as a naughty boy or girl, treating ourselves as a naughty boy or girl, is giving way. It is kind of melting away in the process of the Saturn, which rules your sign, square to Neptune. The let's say the thing that many Capricorns have, one of the things that is true in the statements of many of the older astrology books, which is growing up very young, growing up too soon, and being forced into a kind of a parental role too soon, not exactly an adult role, often a parental role in the family, the role of parenting one's own children, or the role of parenting one's siblings, parenting one's own parents, rather, or parenting one's siblings, having to take care of you know, irresponsible people who you still love and admire. It is easy to get drawn down the vortex of this, and you will see there's often forces that do this to us. They're acting on us every day. You can almost analyze any TV commercial and see the ways in which people are being conditioned to be children. I would yet again recommend a book called The Second Sex by Simone de Beauvoir, which is a study in how it is that women in particular are conditioned to be something other than functional adults. And we think, well, we've made progress and there's there is more equality now, and you know, women can run for president and all that. I think that is all window dressing, and I think that a lot of the lack of equality that was the inspiration of the feminist movement in its earliest manifestations, particularly in the 1920s with first wave feminism, which resulted in women being able to vote and hold office, is worth understanding. And to see the ways in which, particularly if you're a female, you may have been conditioned out of your adult consciousness and what it means to get possession of that. One of the most important things, if you are of childbearing age, is to be in possession of your reproductive destiny. This is a theme that de Beauvoir emphasizes repeatedly throughout her book, and basically it is one of the core theses of the book, that a person is a person when they control their reproductive destiny. You cease to be this thing called a woman, which is subject to all these external forces and basically being the victim of sperm and your ovaries, into someone who actually is controlling your destiny to a much greater extent, and the hand on the rudder is reproductive destiny. Now, what is so interesting is that about your chart is that the two of the most viable modes of expression that you have both involve Venus. They're both ruled by the planet Venus. And one of those is the playful, artistic, sexual, Taurus, your fifth house, and your professional, vocational life, Libra, your 10th house. Both of these signs are ruled by Venus. And so Venus plays an important role in your life as being the thing that represents both your most evolved state as a person who can play and create, and also your most evolved state as a person who can act as a responsible adult who is able to use authority creatively and responsibly, and then ultimately to build a life for yourself that you do actually respect and that you do hold in actual esteem, where you live as if you belong on the planet. And one of the most profound things about your astrology right now, and I'm trying to wrap my head around it a bit, but I think I'm making some headway right now, no pun intended, is the conjunction of Venus and Saturn in your 12th house. And this, first of all, the 12th house is that possible place of a deep inner journeying of a world apart and possibly a sense of isolation. And there may be a sense of removal that you're feeling from your the best elements of your sexuality and the best elements of your ability to responsibly take part in your vocation and to exert a measure of leadership on the world that are represented by that Venus-Saturn conjunction. And my sense is that these are part of a profound reevaluation, and that though it is not very PC and not very well understood at this point to at this point in social history to say this, that there is a very strong relationship between what you feel is your greatest source of pleasure, sexual pleasure, and what you might think of as just the generative, creative, kind of artistic sexual person who you are, and the one who is able to succeed, have a reputation, and act responsibly at the same time as you really fulfill something that is authentically vocational. Vocational means a calling. And we often like to separate everything sexual from everything else, particularly if power and power is involved, right? You don't want to know about the sex lives of our parents, right? That's the big taboo. And yet you have to understand your own sexuality, and I would also say that it is important to understand what you really want from life. And what people tend to want from life is something about their sexual relational nature and something about their professional, vocational, reputational nature. And since we live in a world where basically the entire realm of sexuality has been relegated to deviant or criminal behavior, it is easy to lose touch, to have those two very necessary, contact points on your inner battery to both be connected, but they are functionally the same thing. It is the same basic, not only power source, because sexuality is the generation root of all existence, but for you, they are, in a very pragmatic way, intimately connected. And it's important to keep plugged into both your desire for what you want to do and be and become, and your awareness of who and what you are as a creative, expressive, relational, sexual being. And the more you can bring those things together and see them as part of the same thing and experience your passion simply as passion, to experience your potential as potential, and to not judge your sexuality, which means to not judge the sexuality of anyone, and to see yourself as a person with adult responsibility, that you express your way, which with Libra ruling your professional house must be beautiful. There's no way that you can do something career-wise and have it not be beautiful in some way that you define beauty and still be happy. You can't be satisfied making or indulging ugliness, no matter how much you're paid for it. I'm suggesting here that part of doing the right thing is doing something that is inherently beautiful. That's the only word that I can really use to describe Venus in its dual context as the ruler of Taurus and the ruler of Libra, both of which are the same planet Venus, and that planet Venus is now conjunct your Saturn in this 12th house of profound personal reevaluation. You are indeed searching something that is very deep and very close to what you might call the nature of existence. Okay, I'm going to sleep on this and see if I can pull this into even clearer focus. I've kind of felt myself focus over the course of the past hour. And come back in the morning with astrology afterthoughts and a tarot reading, which shifts to a visual language rather than a logical language. And let's see where we go from there. So thanks for listening, and I will catch you in a digital instant. Thank you.